Half a day, and welcome to Harvest Echoes from Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Since our founding in 1975, pastors, evangelists, and missionaries have traveled from all over the world to Guam to speak to our people, preaching and teaching the Word of God. We're providing you access to this rich archive of sermons and lessons on Harvest Echoes. Our mission is to help people develop a heart for God. These messages, presented in conferences and special services at Harvest, seek to point you toward the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word. Today, a message by Evangelist Steve Pettit. It was presented in October of 2002. The title of the message, Fresh Oil.
Psalm chapter 92, we'll read verse 1 all the way down to verse 10. The Bible says, "It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night, upon an instrument of 10 strings, and upon the psaltery, upon the harp, with a solemn sound. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. A brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. When the wicked spring as the grass, when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. But thou, Lord, art most high forevermore. For lo, thine enemies, O Lord, for lo, thine enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered, but my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of an unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil." Back in the Bible days, when someone would enter into the home of a Jew, it was customary as a good host or hostess to do 3 things. The first thing that you would do is you would greet your friend with a kiss of affection. Even our Bibles say, greet one another with a holy kiss as a symbol of love and acceptance. The second thing that you would do is you would wash the dirty feet of your guest. You see, in the Bible days, people would walk from one place to another along dirty and dusty roads. They would wear sandals, oftentimes be barefoot. And as it is custom to enter into some people's homes and you take your shoes off and leave them at the door or at the doorstep and you walk in their house, so in the Bible days, you would wash the dirty feet of your guest before they would come into your home. And then there was a third thing that you did, and that is that you would anoint your guest with fresh or with olive oil. Because the Mediterranean sun and the climate of the day was very hot, this was a means of restoring your strength and vitality after the journey of coming to your home. Well, the writer of the book of Psalms here, chapter 92, is a fellow named David, the king of Israel. He takes that imagery of anointing with fresh oil, and he uses it as a symbol to what God does for the weary travelers of life. And that is that God gives strength and vitality to His people. You see, David here in the book of Psalms chapter 92 is speaking the fact that he's in a fight with his enemies. He constantly has to face his fears and his weaknesses. He battles against his enemy, against his foes. And every day in the face of the struggles that he goes through, he says he remains strong. Notice he says in verse 9, "For lo, thine enemies, O Lord, for lo, thine enemies shall perish, all the workers of iniquity shall be scattered, but my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn." Now the word horn in the Bible was always a symbol of strength. But he used a specific symbol that shows great strength. And he says, "My horn shall be like the horn of a unicorn." Now, do you know what a unicorn is? Most of you think it's probably the mythological figure of a horse with a horn sticking out of his head. Well, that'd be a good guess, but that's a wrong guess. Because in the Hebrew, this word unicorn here was referring to a very specific animal that was well known in biblical times, an animal that has since gone extinct because it was hunted. It is an animal that you've probably heard of, but you just didn't recognize. It's actually a symbol of the it's a zodiac symbol in the stars. Ford has a car that is named after this animal. And the animal is called a Taurus. A Taurus was a very strong bull. It was feared and it was very fierce. It was the kind of animal that the expert hunters would love to shoot or kill. And so David uses that symbol of a Taurus or a strong bull. And he says, my horn, my strength is like the strength of this strong bull. In other words, in the midst of the battles of life, he is not weakened, but he is strengthened. And where does he get his strength? Notice what David says in verse 10. He says, I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Now, what did he mean by fresh oil? Well, when David was a young teenage boy, the old prophet Samuel came to his home. He was the youngest of eight brothers. His dad's name was Jesse. They lived in a little village called Bethlehem, south of Jerusalem. And there the old prophet came and chose David to be the king of Israel to replace Saul. And what did Samuel do? He anointed David with olive oil as a symbol to the fact that God had set him apart to be the king of Israel. But this is David years later. This is David after he's been the king for a number of years. This is David after he has had to fight his battles. And he says, God has anointed me with fresh oil. Obviously, he cannot be speaking of the oil that he received when he was a young teenage boy to become the king of Israel. He must be speaking about the fact that God had given him a renewal of his strength to perform the duties that God called him to do. That this fresh oil was a renewal of vitality and strength. And folks, if you've been a Christian any amount of time, you will understand that you cannot live off of yesterday's strength. That if you need strength, you've got to get it for today. You see, folks, we are in a spiritual battle because life is not a playground. It's a battlefield. Therefore, we need fresh oil. We are fighting a foe named Satan, and Satan is very, very fierce in his battle tactics, and therefore we need fresh oil. We are easily broken because the Bible says we are earthly vessels, therefore we need fresh oil. We often find that the way is hard and we get easily discouraged and we want to throw in the towel and quit, and therefore what do we need? We need fresh oil. And in the Bible, oil is undeniably a symbol of the person of the Holy Spirit. And do you know that the New Testament teaches us in 1 John chapter 2, verses 20 and 27, that we literally have an anointing, or in the King James, it uses the word an unction from the Holy One. What does that mean? It means that the moment that we become children of God through faith in Jesus Christ, God literally gives to us the person of the Holy Spirit. We are anointed or set apart or sanctified by the Holy Spirit, and He has come to dwell inside of our bodies. And the moment that we get saved, God gives to us all the power that we need. But we also recognize as believers that we need this daily renewing and this daily strength and this daily reviving of our spirit that we might be able to walk faithfully and serve God victoriously. In other words, folks, as David needed fresh oil, so does the people of God. And every one of us, as we enter into this week of meetings, how much more do we as God's people need the fresh oil, the strengthening that God can only give us? Do you need a renewal of your strength? Do you need to find God's power in your life to meet the demands of living for God in a sinful world where we need God's grace and God's fresh oil in our life? And I believe God will give it to those who seek it. Where do we need God's fresh oil in our life? I want you to take your Bibles and turn to the book of Galatians chapter 5, because we need it, first of all, in the realm of our morality. Galatians chapter 5, would you note with me, please, what the Apostle Paul says? Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, he says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust or the desires of the flesh." Now, folks, God has called His people to be holy. God has called us to be an upstream Christian in a downstream world. Do you know what I'm talking about? In other words, the flow of this world is not towards God. It is away from God. It is not towards pleasing God. It is towards pleasing self. The world is a world of corruption, and to be pure in an unclean world is not easy, because, folks, we have outward lures, that's temptations, and we have inward lust, that is our sinful flesh. The Bible says that every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Do you understand what Satan's LSD is? Have you ever heard of LSD? Some people think it's a drug, but there's even a worse LSD that's called lust, sin, and death. And when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. We are living in a world filled with the temptation to take LSD. And so what do we need? We need the power of God. And I want to say to you this morning that no standards of separation and even determination can keep us pure within and without, because you can separate yourself from every temptation out there, but you can't separate yourself from the corruption that is in there. And so you know what you need in this heart? You need grace. You need the power of God to overcome the temptations and the sins of your sinful nature called the flesh. And where do we get that? Well, what does the Bible say here? It says, if we walk in the Spirit, we'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. What is the flesh? Well, simply defined, the flesh is indwelling sin. You see, when you were born into this world, you were not born good. You were born bad, and you're getting worse by the hour. You were born with the bent, the corruption, the disposition, the tastes for sin. The Bible says that we are corrupted, that we are twisted, that we are perverted, that we are actually diseased in our souls, because our hearts and our disposition is towards living for and pleasing ourselves. You say, "Preacher, I don't believe that. I don't believe people are born bad. I believe people are born good." You know what your problem is, sir? You've never worked in a church nursery with a long-winded preacher. And I promise you, you'll walk out of that nursery every single time knowing that children are a sinner. Fact is, one of the favorite words of children that they learn in the nursery when with each other is they'll say to one another, "That's mine." And they'll say that until they're 75 years old. Every child is born sinful. That's called the flesh. Now, what's the Spirit? Simply defined, the Spirit is the indwelling Son. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And the Bible says that the flesh is in conflict with the Spirit. They are fighting one against the other. For the flesh will lead you to sin, and the Holy Spirit will always lead you to obedience. But the Bible says that the Spirit of God is more powerful than the lust or the desires of the flesh. Maybe you're sitting here this morning and you've got a temptation in your life. You've got a sin in your life that you keep giving into and yielding to, and you think you can't overcome it. I want to say to you this morning, you are wrong. Because there is no sin taken you but such as common to man, but God is faithful. He will never permit you to be tempted above your ability, but will with the temptation provide a way of escape. Let me tell you something. There's not a sin in the Bible you can't conquer, because when Jesus went to the cross, He died for sins, and 3 days later, He rose again from the dead. And folks, if you have the indwelling Son living inside your heart, then you have the power to overcome every sin, for where sin abounds, grace abounds more. And a part of the problem is you're not walking in the Spirit. For if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the desires of your flesh. Now, He didn't say you won't feel the desires of the flesh. He says you won't full feel the desires of your flesh. You see, there's some people who think that when you get saved, all these sinful desires should go away. And I ought to have this kind of freedom of holiness that I don't have any struggles any longer. Let me tell you something, folks. The moment you got saved, you didn't lose the struggle. You began the struggle. You didn't know how bad you were until after you got saved. And then all of a sudden now you've got this conflict raging in your soul. You know what happened? You got out of the boat that was floating downstream and you started swimming upstream and you didn't know how powerful the current was against you. And the Bible says that God gives to us the Holy Spirit to enable us to overcome the temptations of the flesh. It's like the law of gravity versus the law of aerodynamics. And the law of aerodynamics is a higher, more powerful law than the law of gravity. Now, it doesn't mean that the law of gravity is not in effect, because if you violate the law of aerodynamics, you'll find out. But as long as you operate under the higher law, you will not be pulled down by the law of gravity. Now, what is the law of the flesh? It's the law of gravity towards sin. It always is there. Paul said, when I would do good, evil is present with me. If you think you're going to have the day where you don't feel the pull down towards sin in your life, folks, then you're living in a dream world. The only way that you're going to be relieved of that is to die and go to heaven. As long as we are in this natural body, we will feel the pull of the flesh. But there's a higher law. And what is that? The law of the Spirit. And the Bible says in Romans 8 and verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. And what the believer has to do is to come under that higher law because it is more powerful. Let me illustrate it this way. When I first got saved, I struggled with so many sins. Fact is, everything I did was wrong. And there were some sins I got rid of very easily, but there were some sins I really struggled with. One of those is I had a real struggle with smoking. And I remember how that I used to love to smoke, and I got saved and I started feeling guilty that I should quit. And one day, somebody taught me how to overcome cigarettes. And they said, you don't overcome cigarettes by getting this little patch on your arm. And you don't overcome cigarettes, you know, by this method and this method, that God has given you a higher power, and that is He's given you the Holy Spirit. And when you died, when Jesus died on the cross, the Bible says you died with Him. And when He rose from the dead, you rose with Him. And so the power to overcome the sinful desires of cigarettes, He's already put within you. Now you need to, by faith, ask God to take away the desire and you commit yourself to obey. And you know what, folks? I found that the Spirit of God changed my desires. And I resisted the temptation. I stayed away from it. But it was as I was walking in dependence on the Spirit of God to take away those desires that God gave me the victory. And folks, you will never overcome sin until you start operating under a higher power, and that's the law of the Spirit. And what does God do? He gives us that renewing and that strength and that fresh oil. And folks, we need God's fresh oil in the realm of our morals. He will give it to those who seek it. And then there's a second area, and that's found in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I want you to notice that the second area where God gives us fresh oil is in the realm of our ministries. We read in verse 1, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Paul is speaking about something that God had given him, and because God had given him this ministry he speaks of, he doesn't lose heart or lose strength or get discouraged. It is so easy to get discouraged in the service of God. And the Bible says that God has given us this ministry. What is this ministry, by the way? Well, without going into great and vast detail, he spoke about it in chapter 3. He called it the ministry of the new covenant. Do you know what the new covenant is? Everybody in this room needs to know what the new covenant is, and it's very simple. It's different from the old covenant. You know what the old covenant was? God had established an agreement with the Jewish people under the leadership of a man named Moses that if they would do these certain things, God would bless them. And he centered it around a place of worship called the temple or the tabernacle. And in this temple, they had priests, and priests offered sacrifices, and the sacrifices were given to cover the people's sins. But there was a problem with this old covenant. Number one, the sacrifices never completely took away the people's sins. It only covered it for a short period of time. The second problem was that the people never could have a real close relationship with God, because the problem was if you went into a room where the presence of God was located called the Holy of Holies, God would kill you. It's real hard to have a relationship with somebody that's going to kill you. Number three, the third thing was that under the old covenant, it never changed the hearts of the people. Because even though their sins would be covered, and even though that they couldn't come into the presence of God, it would never make them different people. And so God made a promise in the Old Testament that he would establish a new covenant that would make the old covenant obsolete, would be done away with, and was much, much better. Because under the new covenant, number one, God would not just cover your sins, but he would wash all your sins away. Number two, the second thing he would do is he would give you a personal relationship with God where you could literally come into the presence of God at any time. And the third thing God would do is he would change your heart and make you a new creation and would put within you a desire to please and obey him. And on the night before Jesus was crucified, Jesus held up a cup and he said, "This is the blood of the new covenant that is shed for you." You see, when Jesus died on the cross, what did he do? He ratified the new covenant. He shed his blood to wash away your sin. He put the Holy Spirit in the heart of the people who were born again, regenerated, and made them new people. And he gave you a personal relationship with God where you can know him and walk with him and live for him and become like his son. And the Apostle Paul, when he went out and preached, what did he preach? He preached the new covenant. What does Harvest Baptist Church preach? The new covenant. What is the new covenant? That every one of you can have your sins forgiven. Every one of you can become new and different people. Every one of you can have a relationship with God. How? Through faith in Jesus Christ. And the only thing that can change a person's life, folks, is not education, and it's not social reform, and it's not governmental changes. The only thing that can change a man's heart is the new birth experience through faith in Christ. And so Paul said, "I've been given this ministry." He said, "God has entrusted this to me. I am an apostle to the Gentiles." He says, "Therefore, I can't afford to check out." You know what, folks? Nobody in this room that's a Christian can afford to check out on serving God. There are some of you sitting in this room, you used to serve God with fervency and fire and love and joy, but something happened. You got discouraged and you checked out. And there are many of you in this room that need to have your strength renewed to bring you back to service. And notice he says, "Seeing we have this ministry, therefore, as we've received mercy, we faint not." And how did Paul keep from fainting? Look at what he says in verse 16. "For which cause," that's speaking of what God has done, "for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perisheth, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." You know what Paul is saying? He's saying every single day of my life, he said, I find God's renewing strength. You can't afford to neglect your prayer time and your Bible time and reading and walking with God. You know what? Because, folks, it's just like a musical instrument. It gets out of tune just by the atmosphere. We're living in such an evil world, we get out of tune that fast. And that's why we've got to tune up our hearts to God every day. And the Bible says that we can renew our spirits. We can renew our time with God and renew our strength. And what does God do? He gives us strength. And he gives us vitality, and he gives us courage to serve him. Folks, it's time. We need fresh oil. God gives it for our ministry. God gives it for our morals. And one last area, God gives it for our marriages and our families. Take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Paul is writing to the church here in verse 18. He tells them, "Don't be drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." What does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? The filling of the Spirit is not speaking about salvation. It is speaking about something different. Because when a person becomes a child of God, when they get saved, they are instantly and immediately indwelt by the Holy Spirit. But the filling of the Holy Spirit is different. And God uses an illustration that we'll all understand. It's somebody who's drunk on wine. When the Bible says be filled with the Spirit, it's using the illustration of somebody who's drunk on wine. They are under another influence and they act differently. And how do they act? Well, the Bible tells us, look at the next verse, "Speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord." The first thing that a person does when they're under the influence of the Spirit is that they are joyful. We have the Spirit of God dwelling inside of us. We're joyful. Then notice number two, it says giving thanks for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. What's the second quality of somebody's Spirit-filled? They're grateful. They're thankful for everything. And then thirdly, notice what the Bible says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. He's humble. That is, there is a spirit of humility and obedience to authority. Now, let me ask you a question. If you've ever met anybody who at the same time is joyful, grateful, and humble, do you think they're a little bit different? And the Bible says that's what happens when a person is spirit-filled. And what does it affect? This attitude, this spirit shows up where? At the home. And folks, the only thing that I know that's going to keep the engine of the home running is constantly fresh oil. The family that prays together stays together. The family where every member of the family is reading the Word of God and walking with God, and they have the sense of the presence of God in their life. You know what? You're going to live literally a little bit of heaven on earth. And folks, I'm going to tell you what. I don't know of any place where we need fresh oil more than in the realm of our morals, our ministries, and our marriages. You say, preacher, how do I get this fresh oil? Well, as we finish this morning, I want you to turn back to Psalm 23, and I want you to go back to see what David said. David was a shepherd. And whenever a sheep was out in the fields and it was bruised or cut, or it had burrs or stickers in it, or it was wounded, the sheep would always come back to the shepherd. And what would the shepherd do? It would cleanse the wounds, and then it would pour oil on it. And David said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And notice what he says in verse 5, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Where do you get fresh oil, folks? You got to go to the shepherd. And if you will come to him by simple faith and you cry out to him, Lord, I need your strength, I need your power, I need your revitalization. And the Bible says, seek the Lord while you may be found. Call upon his name while he is near. If you will seek him, you will find him if you seek him with all your heart.
You've been listening to Harvest Echoes and a message titled Fresh Oil from Evangelist Steve Pettit. It was originally presented in October of 2002 at Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Harvest Echoes provides you access to a rich archive of sermons and lessons presented at conferences and special meetings at Harvest Baptist Church. Send us a comment or question by visiting our website, hbcguam.org, hbcguam.org. And thank you for listening to Harvest Echoes.